have heard a lot recently about the word change, haven't we? And that's a good word, can be a good word. But I'm telling you right now that we are seeing a lot of worldwide changes going on that are, in my opinion, extremely biblically significant. A lot of things that are changing rapidly. I cannot believe sometimes how quickly things are changing. We have, if you've been watching the news recently, we have people talking about a one world economy and a one world currency. And right now, it is already in position that the United States banks are actually controlled now by an international organization, not just the banks indigenous to the United States of America. We have all of these things that are rapidly taking place. We have the nuclear threat of North Korea. We have the nuclear threat of Iran, where they want to use that against the Jews. We have the Jews who are ready for a preemptive strike if they have to knock that out to save themselves, to fulfill all of that. Everything is rapidly falling into place for what we know are the end time signs. And we can't go over all of those things today, but I want to talk to you about Antichrist just a moment, the beast and the false prophet. And so I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We'll read the first five verses as you follow along, and then we'll make some comments as we look at the rest of the chapter. These, ladies and gentlemen, are very significant days, as it was in the days of Noah. As many of us studied in our adult Sunday school lesson this morning, so shall it be in the days just before the coming of the Lord. And we are indeed living in that kind of society. And I'm telling you, change is coming rapidly without very much resistance. And so the change that we're talking about is change that is not necessarily good. It is change, though, that is necessary perhaps to fulfill the providential sovereign will of Almighty God to carry out His final program. The end of the Gentile age is going to come sometime, and I believe we're seeing it very close. Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, that is John the Revelator, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat, that is his place of authority, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They were amazed and wondered in amazement after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months or 3.5 years. Now, this is just a reminder of what's going to take place, part of it, in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Most of you, if you've been in a Bible-believing church for any time, would know that we're living in the last days. Paul said he was living in the last days. We're living in what we call the church age. And that age has been going on and going on and going on now for some 2,000 years. And now we know that the very next thing on God's calendar, the very next major earth-shattering event is what? The rapture of the church. That's the very next thing. We're living in the church age, and then Jesus is going to come and call out his bride. And then, at that point in time, Antichrist, a person who is only presented as by these animals, Antichrist is going to rise to his throne of power, and he's going to be empowered by the devil. And it will be like Jesus Christ being the bodily visible appearance and actual life of God Almighty in a human form. So we're going to have the devil place himself in a human being in a bodily form, very much like God was in Jesus Christ, or Jesus was God. That's going to happen. We're going to see that. And so there will be a 7-year period of time where we call that the tribulation. Now, you and I, if we're saved, if we know Christ, we're going to be raptured out of this mess. We're going to be with the Lord. And I thank God that you can know that, and you can know today that you're ready to meet God, ready to meet Christ, and Christ can come at any moment. He could come before I get through preaching. There's not one earthly thing that has to take place now for Christ to come for his bride. Then we go up to be with the Lord, and while we are there, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. That ought to sober our thinking. And we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But down here on earth, Antichrist is going to appear. He's going to be empowered. We'll tell you about a little bit of that in a moment. And Antichrist is going to rule, and he's going to have authority. First of all, he's going to make a league with the Jews, and they're going to say, oh, hallelujah, everything, every problem we're having on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and in the Middle East and Palestine is all going to be solved. And Antichrist is going to have the plan, and he's going to let them rebuild the temple. And that's going to solve a lot of problems. Right now, you have the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque that is on the temple site. That somewhere, somehow, is going to have to come down. And they're going to allow them to rebuild the temple. And they're going to reestablish that kind of worship. And then there are going to be tribulation people who will be saved. Not those who've had the chance in this life, and not those who've had the chance before that, but there will be some that will be saved. There will be 144,000 sealed. There will be those who will be preaching. And then Antichrist is going to turn on the Jews. He's going to turn on the Christians, and he's going to have murdered and killed and martyred the Christians that the Bible talks about in Revelation, and he is going to be one mean, hateful being. And then he's going to demand some things. Now, let's just look at some of the things as we go along the way. By the way, these two beings that we're talking about in chapter 13, one of them is a political being, and he comes out of the sea, verse 1. In verse 11, we have a different one. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. There are two different things here, two different personalities that are giving the power to Antichrist. And first is a political one, and then a religious one. And the political one will come out of the sea. That represents the nations. And listen, can be and probably will be a Gentile. Keep that in mind when you're thinking about who might be, who might come to the surface and have all of these abilities who would be Antichrist. And so there will be also a religious one, and that will come out of the earth. And most Bible scholars believe specifically it's referring to Israel, and that would be a Jew. But they are going to stand together. They're going to league themselves together to try to usher in this time of the rule and the reign and the control of Antichrist, and he's going to have success for a little while. 7 years, he'll have some success. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 talks about the mystery of iniquity that already exists. And this is going to be the fulfillment of that. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he that be taken out of the way. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. He's now hindering. Letteth means hindering, stopping. But my friend, the Holy Spirit's going to be removed. The church is going to be removed. And Antichrist is going to be revealed. The devil in a human body. Now, what does he do? First of all, he defies God Almighty. Look at verses 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him once. For 3.5 years, he's going to just absolutely defy the true and living God. And he opened his mouth, verse 6 says, in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, his dwelling place, and them that dwell in heaven. He is going to be brash and bold and brazen, and he's going to shake his fist at the so-called true and living God. And he's going to deny God as such. And he's going to be very bold in his blasphemy. And then he's going to destroy the saints that I talked about earlier. In verse 11, he talks about that time of destruction, where he says, I behold another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He is going to be able to have great power and do great signs and marvelous things that are going to take place. In part of the deal that he's going to carry out is he is going to destroy and make war with the saints, as verse 7 says. And he's going to overcome them. And he has that ability over the kindreds, over the tongues, over all of the nations, the whole wide world. He's going to be able to do that. And he is going to, in this last 3.5 years, destroy the Christians that are existing during the tribulation, those that get saved during that period of time. And then he's going to deceive the whole world. He is great at deception. Verses 8 and 9, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. You talk about deception. Blaspheme the true God, and then he's going to be worshipped. Whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank God he's not going to be able to destroy those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not going to be able to deceive them. They're going to reject that. Now he says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, if you listen up, if you're just wise, if you'll pay attention, I'll tell you something. Listen up. Hear what I've got to say. And so he deceives the world, but God says, you listen to what I'm saying. Then he dooms the empire. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. He said, here, let me tell you something. Let me give you some good news. He's just reminding us here, this Antichrist who's going to do all of these dastardly things, it's going to come back on him, and he is going to be judged by Almighty God. Be encouraged, he is saying, because I am going to judge him with the same kind of judgment and wrath that he's poured out upon other people. Let that be the patience and the faith of the saints during that period of time. So he dooms his empire. Now, what about this false prophet that we talked about in verse 11? This false prophet that comes as a beast out of the earth, he demands worship also for Antichrist. Look at verse 12. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. You remember, we don't have time to go back to that, but one of his heads was killed or destroyed, and he comes back to life. There are a lot of different ways of interpreting that, but just for our record today, let it be known that a miracle is going to take place. And they're going to recognize that this is a supernatural being, a supernatural power, a supernatural person. And they're going to decide that they're going to worship him. As a matter of fact, by now, he's going to demand that. And so here you have this beast pointing to Antichrist. Just like the Holy Spirit points to the Lord Jesus Christ, here is the third person of that unholy Trinity, and he is pointing people to Antichrist, saying he is the one that should be worshipped. He's the one that must be worshipped. Then he displays his supernatural power. Look at verse 14. He deceives them. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Don't be so shocked, and don't think that signs and wonders all come from God. They do not. We hear a lot about signs and wonders. We better be sure that they don't contradict the Word of God. And signs and wonders are going to be the deal in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. He's going to call fire down from heaven, and many miraculous things are going to be done. Satan has power. Don't ever think he doesn't have power to do some of these things. Now, he doesn't have all power, and bless your soul, he couldn't do it if God didn't let him do it, if God didn't allow him to do it. But don't sell him short. Satan has power, and he has a lot of power. And so these people are going to see these miracles, these wonders, this supernatural stuff. And so when he displays it, he's going to say, now let's make an image to him. Let's make him God. I wish I had time to develop the truth about images, but God has always said, get rid of the images. We don't need images. We worship God in spirit and in truth. You don't need a statue of Buddha. You don't need a crucifix. You don't need something like I was talking about on Wednesday night, a co-redemptress. You don't need all of that stuff, my dear friend. We need Jesus. But here, as religion always does, let's make some kind of artifact. Let's make something that we can see and put our senses in and worship that one. And so he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. They make the image, and it comes to life through a miracle of the devil. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It's going to say, you either worship me or you're going to die. Worship me or you're going to die. Thank God the elect are not going to worship it. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who God knew were going to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior during the tribulation period, they're not going to do that. And so what does he do? Look at these terrible times that are coming. He designs that image, and then he dictates the mark of the beast. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and rich, great, rich and poor, free and bond. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, doesn't matter what position you have in life, dear friend, all of them he demands to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I'm sure you already know that all of that potential is right now in place. And all they have to do is put a little transplant there or some type of tattoo or something of that nature on your hand or on your forehead, and you cannot buy, you cannot sell, you can do nothing. If somebody took away your Social Security number away from you today, it would be as if you were dead. And you couldn't get a house loan. You can't hardly get a job or do any kind of commerce without having that Social Security number. Well, just think of that and multiply it to perfection and 100 times over, where he says you're going to receive the mark in the right hand or in their forehead. And that no man, none, might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What a tragic day is going to come on the face of the earth. You say, well, why are you telling us that? We're Christians. We're going to be raptured out of here. Well, everybody in this building, number one, may not be saved. And you need to get saved. Number two, we need to understand where we are and what's going on in our life. And even though we're not going to be here, we have a responsibility to be aware of the prophecy of the Word of God and to know that these things are in place and they're going to happen very soon. They are there. We see it all happening, and the rapture is going to take place before they fall into place. This is all after the rapture. This is all after the first 3.5 years of pseudo peace. This is the 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I guess you've surmised by now we're pre-trib and pre-millennial. Amen? Bible believers are, I believe. Some people can disagree with that and still go to heaven. When they get there, they'll get the theology straightened out. Amen? They'll find out that that's true. But thank God for the reality of that. But what a tragic time that's going to be. Look at verse 18, where he dictates the mark. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, I can give you 200 theories on what the mark of the beast is. The truth is, nobody totally knows what the mark of the beast is. It could be a prefix, 666. It goes before everybody's number that is given, a universal number. Now, with computers, that is no problem. I mean, you can find out everything you want to find out about your enemies on Facebook. What do you think it's going to be whenever you have the potential of this, where everybody is given a number and maybe prefixed with 666? But here's one thing we do know about the number 666. Six is the number of man. Always. It's always telling us that man just cannot quite get the job completed. And so it is that Antichrist is going to try to get the job completed, but he's going to fall short. 666. Short. Man's number. Man's way. Man trying it out. Man trying to work it out. But thank God for perfection. 777 is going to put 666 in his place. 777 is the number of perfection, completion. It's the number of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he's going to take care of it. And old 666 is going to be out of business. What a day that's going to be. Now, what does all of that say to us today? I'm telling you right now, listen to me, folks. He that hath an ear, let him listen. The world is looking for a man like that right now. They're looking for a man like that right now. Antichrist may be alive. We do not know that for sure, but he could be. I set no dates. But let me tell you this, my dear friend. When you see all of these things happening, and when you see the potential of a one world religion coming from the city of seven hills, and all of the power, listen, this idea of bishops and priests and archbishops and popes did not come out of the Bible. The local church has two officers, that is the pastor and the deacons, and that is it. There is no hierarchical status set up in the Word of God. But there is coming through the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, who don't believe enough to come in out of the rain. And they are going to get together on the basis of love, 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 love. Forget doctrine. You're hearing that more and more. Forget doctrine. Forget doctrine. Forget doctrine. We're just going to come together because of love. Everybody loves everybody. Well, we ought to love everybody, but we ought to tell the truth. And this one world religious government is going to come into power, and they're going, listen, no regime has ever been in power without using religion. Hitler used religion to his advantage. And you name it right on down the line, whether it was a pharaoh or whoever it was, they used religion. But I want to tell you, it's all in place right now. the one world government. You hear that all the time. One world alliance, one world government. I heard our president say something like this, not an exact quote. I heard him say something the other day about the fact that we need an international type government, an international type power. Friend, it's happening right before our eyes. We need to get our head out of the sand. It is here. It is here. We've preached it for years. When I was a little fellow, I heard preachers preaching, it's going to happen, it's going to come. I heard them telling us years ago that Russia was going to be a power when Russia wasn't a power. I heard all of those things. How do we know all of those things are going to happen? Bible prophecy. One reason I know this book is right, because it is perfect on its prophecy. Everything it ever said was going to happen has happened, and today is happening right now. And we're seeing it happen before our eyes. What does that say to me? It says I need to be ready for Jesus to come any moment. What does that mean, preacher? Well, let me remind you that right after Christ comes, what happens to us? When Christ comes for his bride, what happens to us? What happens to you? Are you listening? What happens to you? Let me just remind all of us here that we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You say, is that going to determine whether we get to heaven or not? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you, every word, every deed, and I don't care if it's in secret, and nobody knows about it but you and God, at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And friend, you hadn't seen anything awesome yet. I've been in some very awesome meetings with some very austere persons in my lifetime around the world. I've sat down with some that were presidents of countries like the Philippines. I mean, at the same table, talking to them. Very austere, very careful what you say. But let me tell you something. You have seen nothing like the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. For your time and your talent and your treasure and what you are or are not doing. And I want to tell you, you lukewarm, cold, indifferent, halfway Christians that show up once in a while on Sunday morning and maybe once or twice a month, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and weep because you were not more dedicated to it. And that could happen any time. It is time for a revival. It is time to not play church. It is time to do what we're going to do. It's time to get your unsaved friends and loved ones to Jesus Christ, because he could come at any moment. And if they've had the opportunity, they will not have another opportunity in the tribulation period. Some who've never heard will, but they will not. I believe the Bible verifies that. It's time for us to win people to Christ. It's time for us not to lay down and quit and get mad and pout and get out on the outs with somebody. It's time to get involved, work, labor, serve God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Not for me, but for Jesus Christ. You're going to give an account. You're going to stand before him. And husbands, your wife's not going to stand there for you. And wives, your husband's not going to stand there for you. And teenagers, your mom and daddy's not going to stand there for you. You're going to stand as an individual if Christ comes soon, and I think he probably will, at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Saved, yes. You say, well, that's just all negative. Oh, no. We'll be rewarded for our faithfulness, for our giving, for our living right, for doing the right things. God's not going to let that pass. He's going to reward us. But I just want to remind you, because I know churches and I know people, there's just a whole lot of you that are not right with God today, and you need to get right with God, because Jesus could be coming at any time. You need to get right with your time. You need to get right with your pocketbook. You need to get right with your dedication to the Lord and really get involved in bringing people to this church, getting them saved, baptized, and following the Lord and believers in discipleship. We need to do that. You say, you're scolding us, preacher, on your 12th anniversary. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm preaching about what the Bible says is happening right now and what we need to be doing right now. We don't need lukewarm, cold, halfway Christians. We need people who are on fire for God, who love God, and they just say, Lord, here I am. I'm available, lock, stock, and barrel. Take me and use me any way you want to. I'm ready, and I want to be ready and living for you when Jesus returns. And then, friend, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, you're not ready. I have good news for you. God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And He wants to save you today as much as you, probably more than you want to be saved. I want to tell you and I want to warn you. Noah preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. He kept telling them over and over again, the flood's coming. There's a flood coming. And they said, oh, Noah, you radical, narrow-minded, independent, fundamental, King James Version, Baptist preacher, why don't you shut your mouth and go out there and just build your ark any old way you want to build your ark? But leave us alone. And the rains came down and the waters came up. And came up and up. And one of the most heart-stirring pictures I ever saw in the Louvre in Paris, France, when I was there, it captured my attention, was a young man who had muscles. He was up in on a body of land. Water was coming up, and he was reaching down to his old father, I would assume that's who it was, trying to pull him up out of that water as if they were going to escape. But the waters came on up and went over their head. But you know what? Those people had a way out. They had an ark. They could have gone in. And Noah preached, said, come on, come on. Get in the ark, get in the ark. And they wouldn't do it. And then one day it started to rain. And they died in the flood and went to hell. God wiped them all out but Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. 8 people. Listen. Oh, friend, God loves you. If you're not saved today, come to Jesus. Come now. Now is the right time. Boys and girls, teenagers, ladies and gentlemen, now's the time to get saved. Christ might come this afternoon. He might come before midnight. And even if He doesn't, you have no guarantee that you'll still be alive. The only sensible thing is for you to do is for you to get saved. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment, and we'll get right into our invitation. If you're not saved, oh friend, I wish you would come to Christ today. I cannot force you, and I wouldn't if I could. It wouldn't be the real thing. But you need to come on your own and trust Christ. Christians, Jesus could come at any time. I'm telling you, things are changing, and they're changing fast. I mean fast. All of the parts in place more than ever before, and it's happening so quickly, it makes my head spin to see what's taking place. You say you're radical, and you're just making too much out of it. Oh, no, friend, I don't think so. It's all right here in the book. It's all right here in the book. May God help you to make sure that your life is right before God. Father, I pray. I love these people, and I pray, dear God, that they would hear the word of God and that we would do what we know we'll be glad we did when we stand up there before you, O God, at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that those who are saved will not stand at the great white throne judgment to determine the degree of punishment in hell, but will give an account. And I pray that would sober our thinking today, to stir us out of our lethargy. I pray for those that are unsaved. May you deal with them. I know you will. I just pray that they'd have the courage to step out and trust Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.